Sit up, oh. Sit up. Oh. Sit up. Oh. Huh? We're good, okay. Okay. So let's talk about it. But I'm getting a sense that you should focus on the choir. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this gathering of souls here. Thank you for making us see this day. Lord, as we briefly go into your word, ask for insight and revelation. In such a short time, let there be breakthroughs in the spirit for us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we called? Is it called? Okay, let's greet ourselves. Let's rise up. Let's go around. Let's greet ourselves. Okay. All right. Praise God. Praise God. Gift, please come. Come. There's nothing deep that's happening. Come. I'm sorry. Come. All right, so let's go to Acts chapter 3. Let's go to Acts chapter 3. So I've been talking about, for this recording to work, I have to be using the mic. So in about 32 minutes, I would be done so that we start prayers. But again, I should emphasize that what I'm saying here is very important. If you listen to the audio that I shared, I was talking about how there is the need to understand how to relate with older people. Or essentially, you know, you can put it as understanding how to be an adult. Praise God. Right? Because you all are at that age where you need the wisdom in understanding how to relate with older people. Typically, the problem that people of your age make is that they behave like children, but they expect to be treated like adults. Hallelujah. Right? For you to be treated like an adult, you have to behave like an adult. Praise God. Now, eventually, people will start treating like an adult as far by the time, you know, you have two children, people start calling you Baba this, you know, they get that kind of thing, right? But if your behavior is still bad, they will just be shocked when you display bad behavior. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, there are people that you're shocked at. You look at it, and it's a father, and he's behaving like that, you know? Or they will turn you into statements. You know, that statement, a fool of force is a fool forever. You know, those kind of things, right? So those are the kind of things that you say to people who are not growing in wisdom, in stature, in grace. Hallelujah. And my desire for you, I really want you to know that I'm teaching on this light to the workers because the grace of God over your life has increased and will continue to increase. Praise God. And so I'm telling you how to relate with CEOs. I'm telling you how to relate with people greater than you. Right? Amen. Because you're going to be entering into those spaces. Some of you are already entering into those spaces. You might not know it yet. You know, I don't know it yet. But some of you are already entering into those. Some of you are already currently in those spaces. You just don't know, maybe because of familiarity. Again, you know, it's not easy to, you know, maybe with somebody in a church like this now, you know the person, you know. This is not Pastor Lalo. Pastor Lalo, we know him. We know him. We know how he talks. We know how he does everything, right? But if you are not familiar, you understand that you're already in the midst and in the presence of great people. And the outcomes that are going to... You know, one of the most powerful things that Isaac told me once was that whenever you're introduced into... Well, they were just preaching in general, but it was speaking to me because at the time, that was the season of life that I was in. That whenever you're introduced to great people, people that are greater than you, the reason is that you are next. Again, right? So whenever you have a level of access to someone that is greater than you, the reason why God did that, that's where you are going to next. And if you understand how to deal or how to handle that relationship, you will see yourself coming up. Praise God. Right? And you need to be taught, because if you're not taught, you'll burn bridges. You know, if you're not taught how to handle relationships, most of your relationships will end with fight. Even amongst yourself. You know. Amen. All right? Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I really want to go into this message, but I need to lay this foundation. You know, I was one of my major concerns with the academy guys, the people that are doing tech, is I don't want them to scatter anything, because it's one thing to know somebody as your friend, it's another person to know that same person as your leader. You get, right? If two of you now, Ife and Deji, start a business together, you know, if it might be Deji senior in age, even in rank, maybe in prayer department, she's HOD in church, but in that business, Deji might be the head, and they have to know how to navigate relationships. Hallelujah. If he goes to the office now and tries to form seniority, it won't work. Praise God. Right? So there's a level of maturity that is required in handling relationships. And this thing, you know, I said something in passing some messages ago where I said I've given you, you guys have the tools to be successful in life. I don't even remember when I said that. When I was teaching on prayer and stuff like that. How many of you have listened to that message here? Only one person. Okay. So, I said that then. And, you know, this kind of teaching, except you want to still be a child, you should not listen to me. But if you listen to me and you apply these things, your childhood is over. Which is good. Amen. Because that's what you want now. You know, how many of you like it when your mom is still talking to you as if you don't have sense? Right? That's what you want. You know, one of the things that you want the most is to be respected. You know, that's why there's a lot of discussion around that. Are you guys with me? You guys are not with me. You guys are not with me. Praise God. All right. So, you don't need to be 25 before you're respected in your house. You can be 14 and be respected. Praise God. You can be 16 and your mother is asking you for advice on what they should buy. Should they buy meat or tomato with the money. Praise God. If your environment, and that's the first thing that I'm saying, that if your environment is responding to you in a particular way, it's because of how you are behaving. Not because people hate you. You know what I'm saying? If people are patronizing you, if people are saying, no, that is a child, just put him there. It's not necessarily because people are looking down on you. It is because of how you are behaving. And so, people don't know this, because they don't have wisdom, the wisdom from the word of God. And what people eventually do is that people just fight and rebel, and they can't wait till they leave their parents' house. You get what I'm saying? And eventually, when they leave their parents' house, they eventually prove that their parents were correct. Because wherever they go to university, they went there clean, they will come back a drug addict. You get what I'm saying? People will go and, you know, most people scatter their lives. Do you know what I'm saying? Most people destroy their lives. There are most people that, you see, the average human being, his decision making is going to end in his death. The way he's thinking is usually going to end in his death. And so, what are the ways of ensuring that we are respected? And when people see us, they respect us. Praise God. It's not every boy that they are toasting. I tell you the truth. It's not every girl, rather, that they are toasting. Even boys, too. It's not every girl that they are toasting. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. If boys are disturbing you too much, there's a problem. Praise God. Praise God. And so please, I want, I'm sitting here for this recording that I want, it's recorded. So I want everyone, nobody should use the excuse of, I did not come. Everyone listen to it. It's going to be like maybe 3 or 4 weeks series. Listen to just for the workers. Any other person can listen. But listen to it. After every topic, you write down the things in your life that are going to change. And I have to see. You have to send it to me as a report. I have to send it to me as a report. I want to see. So today now, I want to see at least, I mean, are we 10, 11? Oh, you don't, not compulsory. You just listen. But I want to see at least 10 reports by Tuesday. Amen. Amen. And if you're perfect, right, I'm perfect. I don't have any issue on this matter. It can be. It can be. It's not. All right, so Acts 3. And so please, I want you to really take this. Please, really, really take this. That I'm telling you, you don't need any intervention. You don't need any body to talk to your parents. You don't need, oh, they are pressing me in this house. They're not. You don't need that. You need to know how to behave. You need to know how to structure your life. So in Acts chapter 3, I'll just read the story and bring out something simple. Now, Peter and John went up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Praise God. Now, read the story of a man that was disadvantaged in life, right? He was lame, bad guy. And he was a beggar. He was asking for alms at the gate. In fact, you know, they called the gate beautiful. And this man was there, not beautiful, ugly, you know, asking for alms and everything. And this man's challenge in life was that he was lame. Hallelujah. The reason why he was a beggar is that he couldn't walk. And he was at the gate. People were passing by him every day, every time. And all those people gave him money. Are you together? Now, no matter the amount that those people gave him, they did not solve his problem. Because his problem was not that he did not have money. His problem was that he was lame. And he was begging for alms. Are we together? So, in life, if you position yourself to receive from people all the time, your problem will never be solved. Are we together? Now, when Peter came to him, Peter, the first thing, what was the first thing that Peter said to him? Look at me. Look at my face. Hallelujah. That's significant. Amen. Amen. That's significant. Because the first, if he did not look at Peter's face, that healing could not have happened. Praise God. He had to look at the face of a man that saw him beyond beggar. Now, there's a way you see beggar. You don't look at a beggar. How many of you have observed a beggar? You don't, you just move on. I mean, that's even if you even want to give. Most of us, we just, and it's not wrong. There's nothing immoral in not giving a beggar money. That's not, you get what I'm saying? You get what I'm saying, right? So, you don't look at the beggar, right? And so, the deliverance, the first step for that to happen was that Peter humanized him. And he said, look at my face. I'm looking, I'm talking to you. Hallelujah. Now, when that healing occurred, the impact was that the man began to leap, praise God. And people now started looking at him. All together. They now started observing. Because, you know, they didn't know who he was at first. And I said, who is this guy? Okay, he's that guy. Right? So, the very first thing in terms of gaining the respect of people is your countenance and your body language. Praise God. Now, when people are disadvantaged in life, part of the oppression of Satan is to give you a countenance or a body language of a beggar. Meaning that you stay in one place and then you want people to help you. Praise God. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? So you know, there's just that meekness, that fake humility where you're just, you know, you just want people to help you, right? You want people to take pity on you. Praise God. You want people to understand your situation. Now, as long as you are in that place and as long as you have that disposition towards yourself, the way people relate with you is that they will not notice you. Praise God. Pity will not make people pay attention to you. Praise God. You get what I'm saying? If you have a disposition of, look at me, I need your help. You know, And you know, these days it has been normalized through social media where people, you know, very satanic, where people do give away. That thing is very satanic. It's a satanic culture. Very satanic, I tell you the truth. Satanic culture. You know? Where you would don't just you say I'm giving 5,000 naira to 20 people. People will now start putting account details. Amen. Very satanic, I tell you the truth. Hallelujah. Right? So, no matter how disadvantaged you are, you need to understand the nature of your problem. The nature of your problem is not the disadvantage. The nature of your problem is that God has not yet been introduced. So, what you need, and that's why you then have the opportunity of relating with servants of God, as per pastors, teachers, people. So, whenever, for instance now, whenever there's a teen in this church now that has that kind of face, see, many people have that kind of face. It even shows even to the point where there's dandruff. You don't even scrub the dandruff away. You get what I'm saying, right? So, whenever people have a wrong countenance, right, the job of the man of God, Pastor Lau Lu, is to look at you and then say, look at my face. Meaning, it's then begin to humanize you. But then begin to say, yeah, great. Yeah, let's come for Bible study, right? Because as we are teaching you the word, that greatness in you can begin to come out. Praise God. Are you together with me? And so, your countenance and your body language is very important. It is affecting how people are seeing you or not seeing you. Praise God. Now, what is the countenance that you must have? You must have, now by countenance, what do I mean? By countenance, I simply mean your facial expression. There are two things I'm talking about. Number one, your facial expression, number two, your body language, right? Now, your facial expression or your body expression, what you are expressing with your body. Praise God. And that's what I meant when I said, I was talking about body language, right? We'd give that. Body language is important. Hey, it is important. The way you sit down, the way you look, is important. Praise God. So, your facial expression. First, your body expression. It gives us the sense of what is happening on the inside of you. Praise God. And people see it. Some people are experienced in life and are sensitive spiritually to know what they are seeing. But even if people don't know what they are seeing, they subconsciously are reacting to it. It's the reason why you just know when someone doesn't like you again. You know what I'm saying? You don't need, the way the person will just be stiff. You just know that something's happening here, right? And so there is no body language that is hidden. Everybody is seeing it. If you're angry, we know. You know what I'm saying? If you're stubborn, we know. We know everything, right? And so you want to give off a facial expression and a bodily language that is very positive and very encouraging and very godly. Because it determines how people relate with you in your environment. Praise God. Let's go to Genesis. The first person to have a wrong facial expression was Cain. Genesis, let's start from verse 1. Now, Adam knew Eve, his wife. And she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now, Abel was the keeper of the sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering from the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Praise God. Now, the reason why, the reason why God accepted Abel and didn't accept Cain was not because of the type of offering that they give. It wasn't like Ibrahim Boshi came brought just in case anyone tries to book out your revelation. No, it's because of themselves. The Bible says that he respected Abel and his offering. Did not respect Cain and his offering. Meaning that Abel was a good person. And that's why his offering was acceptable. And Cain was a bad person. That's why God rejected him. And that was now why when Cain was very angry, his countenance fell. Because if Cain was a good person, the moment God did not accept his offering, he'll be broken. Are we together? And you say, Lord, why? What happened? You know, what did I do wrong? Praise God. The reason why when you get angry that you are corrected is because you're a bad person. You cannot say you're a bad person. Just know. So that I can know how to pray to the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, help me. I'm a bad person. Right? So, if you are doing something wrong, it's wrong. So your response to being called out is to be broken, not to be angry. Right? Now, if you want to be angry, you justify yourself. And you put up a wrong countenance. Hallelujah. And then in verse 6, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? So he says about them. If you do not do well, sin lies at the door and his desire is for you, but you should rule over it. And so God spoke to him and said, God, why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen? So God even noticed that this guy's body language has changed. Praise God. Right? And so a wrong countenance is, like I said, it is a sign of what is going on the inside. Right? That's why you need to stay in an atmosphere of praise and gratitude. Right? You always need to soak yourself in praise. Habakkuk, you're welcome. You always need to soak yourself in praise and in gratitude. Because if you soak yourself in it, that is how you will be expressing yourself to people. Are we together? Are we together? If you do not do that and you walk through life in entitlement, praise God. When men disappoint you, you will behave like a child. Praise God. Praise God. You know, yesterday my daughter was, I think she was disturbing me. She said she wanted to buy something. So I carried her to buy something. And when we came back, everything, you know. She just looked at her things and she started complaining that daddy forgot to buy ice cream. You know? And it's fine. She's a child. She's 3 years old. I can take it. Right? If a 16-year-old does that nonsense to me, this one is not ready for greatness. Praise God. Huh? So you don't go through life through a sense of entitlement. Nobody owes you anything. You don't. Why are you angry that maybe you are hungry? You asked me for money. I didn't give you money. I didn't give you money. It's not. Am I your parents? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You don't like that one? No, it's true. Some people that I'll be giving money, I'm just going to start training them now. You know? You need to start praying to God, though, before you meet me or any of the other pastors. For everything, transport money, everything, pray to God. Praise God. Pray to God. If you have needs, pray to God, is your father. I'm your spiritual father. Yeah. Pray to God. Hallelujah. Because it's very possible that you come and meet me on the day that I don't have. Hey, I'm a human being. So my own money is not unlimited. You know what I'm saying? I might not have money on the day you come and meet me. I can tell you I don't have money. You'll not be offended. In that church, look at they're not helping young people. They're not. And like I said, if you have that kind of heart disposition, it will show in your body language. And they'll just treat it, this one is a child. This one doesn't. Let's be praying. Praise God. All right. So I want to go into some practical things in the next 5 minutes. And I just want to say that, like I said, you should have an attitude of praise and gratitude. To change your countenance, just assume from this teaching that your countenance is bad. Let's not. So to change your countenance, even me myself, you need to upgrade your praise and gratitude to God. You need to learn how to thank God for 20 naira. I've discovered that many people don't do this thing. I used to think it's only me. Or I used to think it's a common thing. I've discovered that many people are not gracious, or many people don't show God gratitude. Some of you here, you don't thank God when you're eating food. Have you not? You just eat food. Have you? Don't thank God. You know? Some of you here, the night that there was no food in your house, that you people went to struggle to buy one at a road or something, Shad did the concussion. That's what your mom eventually cooked. You didn't thank God that night. Hallelujah. You know. When it was only garri and sugar that you ate, you didn't thank God. Praise God. I used to assume everybody used to thank God all the time. I discovered that people are offended at God. You know. Human beings usually, maybe by 38, if they're not married, will start, God, why now? Why now? Why am I not? You know. So, you need to have an attitude of praise and gratitude. I'm telling you the truth. When this thing surrounds you and there's trouble around, right, and you're still happy, the people around you would respect you, especially older people. You know, that night when there's no food in the house and you are the one that goes to encourage your mother and say, don't worry, it's going to be fine. They will respect you. Praise God. That's when they will begin to think that like something is happening to this child. Amen. Amen. Well, if you join them, if you say you start being frowning for that is irresponsible. Would continue the childlike treatment. All right, so you don't get offended at people. You don't get offended when they don't pay your school fees. You don't get offended, you know. Tell your father one day that, don't worry, God will provide. You get what I'm saying? The man's head wants to blow. He's looking for where to pay your school fees. Send him a text one day and say, Daddy, I thank you. God will provide for my school fees through you. And even if he does not through you, I want you to know that I respect you. And I see what you are doing. Hallelujah. He will cry. Not in your face, but he will cry. I mean, real tears. Tears, you know. He will cry. Hallelujah. So, you shouldn't be entitled to people. Entitlement is what kills countenance. You know, nobody owes you anything. Nobody owes you anything. It's the grace of God, right? And the grace of God in the grace of people through you. You know what I'm saying? You didn't come to this world. Your church does not owe you anything. Praise God. Don't say in this church they are not supporting. Your church does not owe you anything. Pastor Lau does not owe you anything. I don't owe you anything. Is as it comes to our hearts. You get what I'm saying? Praise God. And this is why you can't think well. You know, I really need to end this thing. All right, so quickly, countenance is also changed by your friends. And I've spoken about how you need to praise God, you need to develop that heart of gratitude. Where's everybody? I just want to say that there's nobody around apart from us. But it's also changed by your friends. In Proverbs 27, verse 17, let's quickly read. If you read it, is the scripture we all know. As iron sharpens iron, so does the man sharpen the countenance of his friends. So, your friends have a duty to change your countenance. Praise God. Praise God. Now, if you remember what I said, I'm using countenance as an all-encompassing term. I'm talking about facial expression, your body language, your body expression, just how you are. They even affect your dressing, how you dress. Praise God. Are we together? Are we together? I know people don't like hearing this thing, but ladies, I'm telling you the truth. If you dress in a certain way, you attract a certain kind of attention. Dress to be sexy. Receive the result of that. And unfortunately, sometimes it can lead to rape. I tell you the truth, it's not, I know this is not social media friendly, you know, but it's the truth. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that you would go out there and start telling people when they've been raped that, why do you wear a shirt? That's stupid. Yeah, right? And if a man does something like that, he deserves to be punished, you know. But telling the truth, you somehow can attract some kinds of attention. Praise God. Many people are mad. That's something I've discovered. There's madness is in two forms. There's madness that's under the streets, under the bridge. There's madness wearing suit and tie. You know, many people that are walking normally have psychological problems. So, one guy now can just see you and just spark his madness. You just go and bring knife. So dressing also affects your countenance, how you dress. Right? Any dressing, you know, as a rule for a lady, any dressing that you have to do like this, you know that thing? You have to do like this. It's a sign that you're not dressing correctly. I tell you the truth, if you're not dressing correctly, it's a work of madness. I'm telling you the truth, you are running mad. You're not dressing well. I tell you the truth, it's a work of madness. You might think I'm being insulting. I'm not being insulting. I'm telling you the truth. Wrong dressing is a sign of madness. How you know that somebody is mad is how they dress. The madman, how do you know that he's a madman? The way he's dressing, I'm telling you the truth. Right? So, it also affects your countenance, right, in terms of your dressing. But quickly, I was talking about your friends. Now, your friends, usually your friends, that's why true friendship is based on the word of God. It's not based on gists. You get what I'm saying? So, true friendship is confrontational at times when it needs to be. Right? The standard... The only true friend is the friend that you people have agreed that this friendship is based on the word of God. So, if anybody is going outside of the word of God, it shouldn't be an issue that I tell you that, no, you're not doing the right thing. You know what I'm saying? If maybe you have a boyfriend now and the girl comes and says, why do you have a boyfriend? I get offended. No. That friendship is nonsense. It's not a Christian friendship. Are we together? But you could be Christians, but you don't have a friendship yet, right? So true friendship is based on the word of God. And so there is that sense of care. Hallelujah. And we'll talk about it next week, about how you must use your mouth well. You don't cover up sin. Praise God. Many people don't know this, you know? Many people, if you see your friend now smoking weed, you'll cover it up. You have to confront. You don't. We'll talk about that next week. Hallelujah. So, in this friendship, so your friends can, if you want to be someone's, if you want to be the good friend of someone, please know that you have to ensure that their countenance is right. When their face is down, why is your face down? We need to know. Hallelujah. Like gift, if don't neglect bad face. Praise God. There's a reason. I've told you, countenance is there for a reason. Something is happening. Nobody just chooses to show rumpled face. Something is happening, and we need to know what is happening. So, bam, bam. If we need to praise God, let's praise God. If it's period matter, okay, it's period matter, we understand. It's period matter, okay. But if we need to praise God, let's praise God. You get what I'm saying? Like, if we need to stop negative behavior, let's stop it now. This is not the thing we do. All right. So quickly, three areas. Dressing. I've spoken about that. Dress well, not like a madman. Right? Please invite the Holy Spirit to your dressing. It's a good practice. Back in the day, we used to think it was excess. It's not excess. Right? The Holy Spirit has to guide your dressing. Right? And pray in that light. When you pray in certain lights, you invite the Holy Spirit to speak to you in that light. There's a dress for church. There's a dress for parlor. There's a dress for room. Hallelujah. Some of you now don't know. You can wear bum shorts in your parlor. Are we together? Some men don't know. They can show chest in their parlor. They say, it's not my house. No. You are sexually tempting your friends. Praise God. Am I not saying the truth? Am I not saying the truth? So, you need to invite the Holy Spirit into your dressing. Please, you dress to glorify God. It's God that is looking at you, not men. You know what I'm saying, right? So, that dressing signifies that you are ready. Anybody, you see, I told you it's madness. You see, any girl that enters any office that's wearing short skirts is not ready to grow in her career. My God. See, the worst thing you can do is enter an office with short skirts. Huh? But you see, all the men there men are like, God. I know my man says, like, I'm insulting myself. But men are like, men are biased. I tell you the truth. And that's why, you know, you see, that's why all these Alajas, they wear hijab, everything, and they're prospering in life. It's not hindering them. Have you not? How many of you have seen Alajah that did not get first class because she was wearing hijab? It's not hindering them. You get? How many of you have seen lecturer harassing Muslim woman with hijab? Have you ever heard how many of those stories? You know, lecturers, they harass girls now, right? The Muslim girl in class, that one that is sitting at the front wearing hijab, black. Sometimes I said the black will cover like this. I mean, as the lecturer, how many lecturers have? You know, some can't, because some people that are craziness is they don't send anyone. Yeah, but it's not as much as the Christian ladies. Is the Christian ladies wearing tight jeans? That's the one that they are harassing. Praise God. Right. So dressing, that statement is a true statement, just that it's not scripture. Dress the way you want to be addressed. Don't dress like your mates. Dress like where you are going to. Praise God. Right? The jeans shouldn't be too torn. Praise God. Right? Take care of your body. Right? Take care of your body. Don't dandruff, all those things. Go and buy material. Now you can come and meet me. I'll buy cream for you. Right? If you need money for cream and all those things. Right? Please, if you need money for cream, come and meet me. Don't meet your mates, because they can insult you, but meet me. I'll give you money. Right? But you should have dandruff-free face, eczema, all those things. It's embarrassing to be a Christian speaking in tongues and you have eczema. Because eczema itself is that you're not bathing. Have you not? That's eczema now. Have you not? You're not using soap, or you're not taking care of your skin well. Eh? That's what I mean now. You're not taking care of your skin well. That's why you have eczema. So that one is not even, and you can't start toasting girls. It's very demoralizing. It's very demoralizing, right? So please make sure. I know, see, young people tend to overlook these things. I know what I'm saying. I know what I'm saying. People tend to overlook these things. So please make sure that your body is on point. Right? If you don't, I'm saying it again. If you don't have money for cream, come and meet me. For money for cream. Right? You deserve good cream. You deserve good cream as a child of God. Right? You deserve roll-on, spray. You shouldn't have white leg. I don't like seeing white leg, especially on guys. White leg. You're not rubbing cream after a bath. Your leg will not be white. A white face, you know. Please, it matters though. Nobody will respect anybody that has white face or white leg. Nobody respect anybody like that. Right? So please take care of your body. It's important. It's important. It's important. Then your composure. We'll continue. I'll just round it off on composure next week. They'll enter into how you use your tongue. Right? All right. So who's leading us in prayers? Okay. So if you come and lead us in prayers. So like I said, before if you come, please. So everyone listening to this message, I need reports. Eh? I will try my best because in this season you must transition to be an adult by force. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So listen to this message. You're not hearing me, you came late. Listen to this message. The recording will be shared on the group. Listen to me and send me a report of what you are going to change in your life after you listen to this message. If you're perfect, you can write. I'm perfect. I don't need anything. I'm fine. It's fine. Praise God. Father, we thank you for this time. I ask that you shall make this word true in our hearts. For those that are not here, those that will listen eventually, you shall hit them with conviction. And Father, we want to grow. We want to change. We want to adapt. It's for your kingdom. It's for your glory. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Amen.